The dentist is in to answer your questions this week. Welcome to Teeth Talk. The dentist, of course, Dr. Charles Ashley Mann. Dr. Mann from Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry with offices in Kerry-Garner and Fuquay Varina. Dr. Mann, hope you're well.
I am doing wonderful. How about you?
Great. Let's get right to it as we are answering questions sent to us from our Teeth Talk listeners. Let's get right to it. Ashley, if you don't mind, I have a question to start us off. One of the things we're hearing a lot about these days is fluoride possibly coming out of our drinking water. First, does that concern you? And if it does happen, how can we maintain good dental health?
Well, I think the fluoride decision, you know, is a controversial one with many people. You know, the decision's really going to come down to whether fluoride stays in the water or not to our county health departments, unless the federal government comes out with a mandate that it has to be removed, which could happen, but I don't think it is. However, you know, fluoride is a good thing to have in water, in my opinion. And the reason is there's a lot of people that need it, especially in the lower socioeconomic part where their diet is really high in sugar and also high in processed foods that have sugar. It does decrease the amount of decay. Now, once your teeth are developed, does the fluoride in water really help? I'm not so sure. There is studies that show that it decreases the amount of decay that we get after we after our permanent teeth are developed and in like once they come into our mouth. Now there are studies where fluoride varnish, which is applications that we apply in the dental office, does help decrease decay, and especially around the margins of crowns and around where patients have recession, where the softer part of their tooth has been exposed. But as far as drinking water, how it was found to put in drinking waters, there was two Indian tribes about 45 miles away, and they noticed that one Indian tribe, Native American tribe, had a lot of decay, rampant decay, and the other one didn't, and they had the same diet. So they looked at their water and they found that the ones that didn't have the rampant amount of decay had fluoride ions in the water, and that was the only difference that they found between the two, because they had the exact same diet. So they started putting fluoride in water because of that, and experimenting with it, and did find that it does decrease decay. And especially as the teeth are developing, that fluoride ion, as it gets into the system, causes those permanent teeth to come in stronger. There is controversy. You know, I grew up on well water myself and never had fluoride, and I haven't had that much decay in my life. So a lot of it has to do with diet. It also has to do with how well you take care of your teeth. You can have as much fluoride in the water as you want. And if you drink a lot of soft drinks and you have a lot of sugar and acid in your diet, you're going to get decay no matter how much fluoride you have. Now, there's also the question of, can I put fluoride or should I use a fluoride toothpaste? Now, that's a topical, and it does help decrease the amount of decay. Unlike water, you're not seeing a lot in water anymore, because people are drinking bottled water, they're drinking filtered water. Unless you go directly to your sink that doesn't have a filter, you're probably getting the fluoride. But most people are going to the refrigerator, and that filter is filtering out the fluoride. So I don't think that we're getting as much as we used to, but we definitely see that high fluoridated toothpaste in patients that have significant decay work. The other alternative, if people are scared of using fluoride toothpaste, is hydroxyapatite. It's a natural occurring, all natural substance that will actually remineralize the teeth and help decrease decay. And studies show that it's just as effective as fluoride. And so if you look for a toothpaste with hydroxyfluoride in it, we also, in our offices, provide an alternative to the fluoride varnish. We use hydroxyapatite varnish, which shows proof that it studies show that it does just as well as fluoride varnish. So there's alternatives out there, and everybody has to pick their own way. I would say if you don't have a high decay rate, you don't really have to worry about using as much fluoride. But if you do have a lot of high it carries or decay, then you definitely want to use either hydroxyapatite or the fluoride.
Let's dig into the mailbag now. Catherine from Cary has a June wedding coming up, and she wants a quick solution to have nice, bright, white teeth on the big day.
Well, if Catherine has whitened her teeth before and she's trying to whiten them at home and she hasn't been able to, there is options for those patients who have tried to whiten at home or have tried to whiten with the dental office and they didn't get the results they're looking for. There is a product that we use in our office that's highly effective. And if you look on the internet, it's KOR, Core Whitening. And it's a really good whitening product that can be done in the dental office. And it's a combination of chairside and also take-home wearing the trays at night whitening that's highly, highly effective. Now, June is right around the corner, not too far away. So if I was Carol, I would start pretty quickly. Whitening comes in all forms. A lot of the over-the-counter products are only going to just brighten your teeth a little bit. They're not going to do most people give them what they're looking for. The whitening toothpaste. Most of those are more abrasive than natural, regular-based toothpaste that we see. But you see the brightening toothpaste or the whitening toothpaste. Some of them have hydrogen peroxide in them, which do a little bit. But then there's others that basically put a lot more abrasivity to keep the stains that you get from coffee, tea, red wines, to keep those stains off the teeth. Will it make them whiter? Just depends. Most people have not just surface stains, they have stains deep down in their teeth. The only way to do that is to get a strong enough hydrogen peroxide whitening agent that will open up those pores and pull those stains out. You can only get that at a dental office. If the over-the-counter products are working for you, then I would stick with those. But if you're not getting the result you're looking for, then I would definitely try Core Whitening, KOR. It's one of the best on the market.
And Catherine, a couple of weeks back, we did a show on teeth whitening and veneers. You may want to check that out. Available on demand at WPTF.com and wherever you get your podcast. This is another mailbag show on Teeth Talk this week on WPTF. And from 92.9 AM 680 and WPTF.com, news, talk, traffic. Well, thank you for joining us again for Teeth Talk this week. We're answering questions from our Teeth Talk family. John from Fuquay-Varina has a 4-year-old and wants to know what's a good age to start bringing his kids to the dentist.
That's a great question. You know, I always tell people to bring their child in around the age of 2 or 3. You want to bring them in the first time you visit the dentist. And the reason for that is you don't want it to be a surprise. You want them to feel comfortable in the setting. So we will usually get a 2 or 3-year-old and put them in the chair the first time and let them ride the chair and see how it operates, show them, you know, the suction, the air, the things like that. But we don't really work on them the first time. We don't charge the patient. We just want the kid to get used to being in the dental office. The second appointment, they are a lot more comfortable. Now, having said that, we want to start seeing the ch children around 3 years old, no later than 3. The reason for that is most of their permanent teeth have come in. And we also need to see if there's any kind of issues going on with eruption patterns and teeth coming in. And just to make sure that there's no growths or anything, missing teeth, all these things we look for, as well as decay. You can get early decay at 3, 2 and 3. So just because 3 is the recommended age, it doesn't mean you can't bring your child in before the age of 3. If you're a parent and you do not like coming to the dentist, I would highly recommend that you get someone else, a spouse, grandmother, friend, to bring them the first time because they will pick up on if you're stressed when you come to the dentist that first visit. We see that quite a bit. And then the child can pick up on that stress level and then they're stressed their first visit. So have someone that's not scared of coming to the dentist or frightened of coming to the dentist. But that's a great question. The other question I get that's similar to that is when should I take my child for braces, the orthodontist. And the orthodontist, we like to send our patients around 7 or 8. A lot of people say, wow, that's really early. But we can basically prevent a lot of problems if we send a patient early, around 7 or 8. And we do that because the orthodontist can determine if they have enough room. If a patient doesn't have enough room, then a lot of times they can get some teeth that can become impacted, and they're harder to come down in interruption. So if we can see that early enough, then we can take some measures by widening their arch to get enough room for them to come in. So around 7 or 8 is when we usually send patients to the orthodontist.
Jacqueline from Garner has a fractured tooth. It's not causing any pain for her. Does she need to do anything?
Right. Well, that's a good question. You know, a lot of times we see fractures all around really large metal fillings. And some people can just fracture their teeth, especially if they clench and grind their teeth. But when you start seeing fractures in teeth, it is a concern, especially if the fractures are getting dark. If you see dark fractures lines on your teeth, that's a sign that the fracture is deep. And when it gets deep, it can become a major issue. If that fracture extends down into your nerve, then a lot of times you have to have a root canal. And a lot of times it would be painful. Jacqueline would be getting pain. The other thing that we see is that fracture can extend down below the gum line in the root. If that fracture gets into the root, you take the risk that you will have to have that tooth extracted. So we take the preventive measures of capping a tooth or putting a crown on a tooth when we see those fractures, and that helps prevent those things from happening so that you don't have to have the tooth extracted. If it breaks, a lot of times, if you wait till it breaks and it doesn't hurt, a lot of times it'll break below the gum line, which will require either a root canal and a crown or an extraction and an implant. So it's always good and costs less money to be proactive when you see those fractures in those teeth around big metal fillings or fractures in general.
You're listening to Teeth Talk at WPTF, and we are answering your questions. Steve from Holly Springs is a patient and recently had a filling done that matches the color of his tooth, but some of the older ones, they've turned dark. Is that a concern?
Well, it could be that the dark fillings he is seeing are those metal fillings we talked about. They're called amalgam fillings, and they're metal, and they over time tarnish and turn dark and black. The other thing is, if you have old, what we call resin-based fillings, they can stain over time with the foods that we eat, and they can become dark too. So, a lot of times the darkness is not a problem as far as, the filling itself, leaking. It's usually not the case. However, if it's a problem cosmetically in the front, they can easily be replaced and bonded with resin or replaced with porcelain. The good thing about porcelain, we do a lot of porcelain inlays and onlays in addition to resins, which I mentioned earlier. But the good thing about porcelain inlays, they do not stain. And porcelain can be used for fillings just like resin can. We don't use amalgam anymore. Those have slowly been removed because of the mercury and all the other metals that are in them. So basically what we use is resin and porcelain. Resins are great. They bond to the tooth and they don't cause the fracturing that we see in the metal. And the other good thing about them is they're tooth colored. Like we can match any color. Porcelain, the good thing about this, all the good things that I said about the resin-based composites. However, porcelain doesn't stain. That's the big difference between resin and porcelain. And also porcelain is stronger and it doesn't wear. So when you make a decision about what type of filling that you're going to get, you have to make a decision about whether you want porcelain, which is a little more expensive than resins, but resins will stain over time.
We have a question about mouthwash from Sue in Apex. She wants to know what kind of mouthwash do you recommend and which one should she steer away from?
You know, mouth rinses are very effective at decreasing the bacteria load in the mouth, which, you know, the one that we want to decrease is the ones that cause decay. and the ones that cause periodontal disease. And mouthwashes can be very effective. I recommend that most people use a non-alcohol based mouthwash. And the reason for that is we did our show last week on mouth cancer. It does, alcohol does increase your risk for mouth cancer. The other thing is it dries the mouth out. Alcohol does. So I recommend a non-alcoholic based rinse. There's many on the market. One of our favorites over the counter is Closis, but there's many on the markets that don't have alcohol. They're just as effective. Closis is a good one because it's a chlorine dioxide, and it does a good job of killing the bad bacteria in our mouth and keeping the good bacteria. And we also have some in our office that we use that are all natural, that are made with coconut water, coconut oils, and other things that kill the bacteria, the bad bacteria. But it is a good idea to use a rinse after you brush your teeth and floss.
More questions and answers coming up on Teeth Talk this week with Dr. Mann from Charles Ashley Mann, Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, and Carrie Garner and Puke Wave Arena. This is Teeth Talk on WPTF. Back here on Teeth Talk with one last segment, and it's back to the mailbag. A question from Marion in Raleigh. She's heard her husband snoring, wants to rule out sleep apnea. What should he do?
Great question. And we've done many shows on this, but I would say that snoring is one of the symptoms of sleep apnea. Just because you snore doesn't mean that you have sleep apnea, but it's a really big indication that you should get some kind of test. In our office, if someone's snoring, we always recommend that they take home a pulse oximeter that we have, and we send those home free for our patients. And you can wear it for about 2 nights and bring it back to our office. And then we can determine if your oxygen levels are dropping. And if your oxygen levels are dropping a lot during the night and below a certain percentage, usually 92% oxygen rate, then we tell patients, hey, it's a great idea if you go and get a sleep study. You can do sleep studies at home now. You don't have to go to a sleep center, so it's really easy. And a diagnosis can be easily made from those home sleep tests. However, we don't like to start with a home sleep test. We'd like to just start with that pulse oximeter, because if your oxygen levels aren't dropping, there's no need for that test. And then if you're a snorer, we can make an appliance in our office that will prevent the snoring. It's called a mandibular advancement device, and it moves your mandible out and holds it into place. Snoring occurs when the back part of your throat closes off or gets very narrow, and air passes over that and causes the vibration. And when your jaw moves forward, your tongue moves with it. So it allows that soft tissue to ease up a little bit, and it creates a wider airway so that the air can get down and that vibration doesn't occur. Those are very effective. We've done a lot for snorers, and it's really changed their life and their spouse's life, because snoring is one of those things that can cause some stress in a marriage because of the noise that snoring makes, and can keep people from sleeping, which causes them to be even more ornery. But it also, the person who is snoring, a lot of times they don't know they're snoring. But if they have drops in their oxygen, it is also affecting their sleep as well and their overall health. So it is something that I would check into if I was her, get her husband to just do that simple take-home pulse oximeter, and we'd be happy to help him out.
A question from Jonathan in Wake Forest. He's noticing that his teeth have more sensitivity lately, and he wants to know, is this a symptom to something more serious?
Well, sensitivity, if they just became sensitive the patient hasn't whitened their teeth or changed any kind of toothpaste, then I would suggest that they see their dentist. It could be a sign that they're clenching their teeth on a regular basis, which can cause sensitivity. If they have a few areas that are sensitive, that could be indicative of cavities. But sensitive teeth are not uncommon. And sometimes people have more sensitive teeth that clench and grind their teeth. Sensitive toothpastes work really well, like Sensodyne, Crest Sensitive, Colgate Sensitive. All those toothpastes that are sensitive have different types of products that will close off those pores that cause the sensitivity and decrease the amount of sensitivity. We also, in our practice, if a patient has areas that are sensitive, we can actually brush on an anti-sensitive agent that will keep it immediately make it non-sensitive. And it lasts a good long time. I would say it'll last anywhere from 3 to 4 months, or close to when they come to their next appointment. But clenching is a really big problem with those that we see that have sensitivity.
Ken admits that he has bad breath. He stays away from spicy foods mainly, but should he be concerned about this?
Yes. One of the things with bad breath is that we see is periodontal disease. So a lot of people that have periodontal disease, if he hasn't visited the dentist in a while, or he's not visiting on a regular basis, it can increase halitosis, bad breath, and it's a very distinctive odor. So I would also say that people that have a lot of acid reflux can also have bad breath. It brings up a lot of sulfuric acid from our stomachs, and that acid creates sulfur-like odors. So there's many things that can cause it. You can discuss it with your dentist. One of the best things I tell people that are experiencing it, if it's on a regular basis, definitely floss your teeth or water pick, even better. Scraping your tongue is also a great thing, because you do build up bacteria in your tongue, especially on the back. And there's some great gum scrapers you can get at Amazon. And then use a rinse, like we talked about earlier. A mouth rinse will kill those bacteria, and you can get them that are specific for sulfuric bacteria, which is really what causes the most bad odor. However, if you have periodontal disease, there's not a lot that's going to mask it. You might be able to mask it temporarily, but long term, you won't be until you get that periodontal disease treated.
Well, that's going to wrap up Teeth Talk, this special mailbag edition. If you have a question, you can email Dr. Mann at drmann@smilemann.com. If you missed any portion of today's show, you want to share it with someone, we archive all the Teeth Talk shows as podcast, available wherever you get your podcast, and on demand at WPTF.com. Dr. Mann, what can we look forward to next week?
We haven't talked about it in a while, but we're gonna talk about periodontal disease and the serious implications on your health.
Charles Ashley Mann Family and Cosmetic Dentistry have 3 offices, Cary, Garner, and Fuquay, Verena. Call 919-462-9338 for an appointment. You can also go to smilemann.com. That's smilemann.com. Until next Sunday at 4:30. For Dr. Mann, I'm Mike Slayman, and that's Teeth Talk. Keep smiling.